Last Saturday, I was sitting watching the kids practice their program, and a loud pop in my left ear, and that I've been hearing ever since in my left ear. And it's great. It's great to hear that guitar again. I couldn't hear the guitar before, but it's great to hear the. I'm right next to the speaker, and I couldn't hear it. That's gone. And God healed me. He healed me. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And did it with practice going on with little children. Not anybody laid hands on him. To God gets all the glory. Amen. Amen. Stand with me and let's worship the Lord this morning. God bless you.
Can you give him a praise offering this morning? Somebody say hallelujah. Yes. Give him a 2025 praise. Come on.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Somebody praise him again. Oh, glory. I say praise that storm out of here in Jesus' name. Oh, I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called me. Stories that have proved your faithfulness. I've seen miracles my mind can comprehend. There is beauty in what I can't understand. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you. I believe you're the wonder working God. You're the wonder working God. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. You're the wonder working God. And you heal because you love. Oh, the miracles we'll see. I can't resurrect a man with my own hands, but just the mention of your name can raise the dead. Glory to the only one who can. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you. I believe you're the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God. We've seen broken bodies heal. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen real life resurrection. We've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen families reunited. We've seen prodigals return. We'll see. sworn to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know that there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Jesus.
every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Come on, let me hear you speak his name this morning. Say, Jesus, Jesus. Say it again. Say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, what a powerful name. Somebody say hallelujah. I'll speak that name into 2025 in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Grab the person's hand beside of you this morning and say, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you with health. I bless you with strength. I bless you with peace. I bless you with righteousness. I bless you with strength. Come on. I bless you in the name of the Lord our God. Now give him another praise this morning. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Jesus. Worthy are you, Lord. Hallelujah. God. Amen. You may be seated. Shake somebody's neck, hand before you're seated this morning. I just want to see if it's you're awake. Okay. And there's...
Oh, me. What was that saying? Shackled tail feather. Yeah. You know, my little great nephew was at the house on Christmas Eve, and when he got up, they said, "What is that?" And I got little feathers in some of my pillars. One had came off, and it was stuck right there, just sticking right out. A little bee behind. I said, "He's going to shake a tail feather." It was so cute. You had to be there, but it was cute. All right, ushers, if you'll come, going to receive time.
Shorty get quiet, didn't it? Let's stand together. Good to see you in God's house this morning. Amen. On this old rainy day. So let the Holy Ghost rain come down. That's what we want. Amen. Glory to God. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and we'll start reading verse number 1 and read through verse number 8 this morning. And I was just meditating on the Lord this week and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do this morning? And he told me, he just spoke the word last things. Last things. So we're going to look at some last things this morning. And the Apostle Paul is certainly giving some of those things that we're going to read about today, but there's many, many others in light of the year coming to an end. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Listen to what Paul says. And I want you to remember this morning that he is already anticipating death is coming, that I'm on my final path. I am going to Rome. I'm going to stand before Nero. He knows that whatever he's going to be writing and whatever he's going to be saying in these epistles that he's writing are very weighty and very important. So really listen to what he is saying this morning to Timothy and to you and me. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall be turned, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What a powerful word. What a powerful word. You can, if you pick up on that this morning and you understand where Paul is, I believe that his heart was to stay here. I remember what he said to the church when he said, I'm in a strait between the two. Whether to go to heaven, and I can do that, or to stay here. And he said, but it's needful for me to stay here and preach this word to you, to protect you, to pour truth into you, to make sure that your foundation is sure and steadfast and that you always remain faithful to the Lord. And so he's writing with this upon his heart. And so today I want us to pray and just say, God, I need this, you to touch me today. I need your deep down stirring in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you today for the word. And I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus to come and touch our hearts and our minds. Holy Spirit, we desperately need you. Breathe upon us. Give us ears to hear. Oh, God in heaven, let this enter into our hearts, our spirits, as Paul meant it to, as the Holy Spirit you mean for it to. We lean upon you today. Cause every word to come forth accurately and boldly as you'd have it to come. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you will ready us and steady us for these last days. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your word today, for your mighty Holy Spirit and your gifts. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. Everybody say last things. Last things. The end of the year always brings with it those few loose ends that need to be tied up. Some of us are already thinking tax time. What do I need to do before the year ends? What do I need to do? What are some of the last things that I need to do? The end of the year brings with it the sense of finality. I want you to get a hold of this now. Things that must be finished before the year's end. I want to say that there's a lot of things that need to be finished before the rapture takes place, before we stand before the Lord. Last things are those things which usually have been ignored, pushed back, pushed aside, or overlooked. Everybody said amen. Amen. So the last day, the last hours or minutes of a thing usually press us, push us, or motivate us to get it done. Aren't humans bad for procrastinating? Somebody say, Lord, deliver me from procrastination. Deliver me, God. Don't put it off until the last minute. Somebody say amen. So we could look at this to say, man, we're on a time limit right now because we don't have but a few hours and New Year's is going to be here. The page is going to turn. We're going to enter into the year 2025. Urgency would be a good word to use right now. Everybody say urgency. Do it now. Do it now. Do not delay. Don't allow time to pass by. So the apostles and the Lord even himself gave final things to us. Everybody say final things. Final things. And there's many final things in the scripture. Now I just want to focus, you may not even get past number one. I have no idea. You know, I hate to tell people I'm just going to speak for a few moments because I end up being a liar and then I have to repent. You know, so we're just going to go with the flow. Somebody say go with the flow. That's what 2025 is all about, going with the flow. Somebody say amen. And so the Apostle Paul, with his departure close at hand, writes to young Timothy, and I want to read this again. Listen to what he says. I charge you, and he's speaking to you and me today. These are last things. Paul says, I've got to get this off of me. I've got to get it out of my spirit. I've got to get it into my young protege. I've got to get it not only to him, but I know that this letter is going to be read to the churches. And even today, 2,000 years later, we are reading this same letter. It's to you and it's to me. It's about last things. And I feel the weight of this great apostle, and I feel so little in his presence as I'm reading the weightiness of this letter. Because everybody likes to speak about Paul, and when we look at him, we kind of all shrink in his shadow. And so Paul is writing to this young protege. It's a time of persecution. People are dying for the faith. People are throwing away their belief in Jesus. Some are wrestling with false doctrines and false hopes, and they've been let down, some hurt and crushed and betrayed. All kinds of things that are going on. And Paul writes this letter. He says, I charge you. I command you. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to judge. This is the weighty sentence. Who's going to judge the people that are alive and the people that are dead. The quick and the dead. Listen to what he says. Preach the word. Preach the word. I know in a time right now of wokeism that probably a lot of ministers wrestle with preaching the word. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to tell you that you could go to hell. We don't want to tell you that you could backslide and stand in a place that you do not want to stand in before Jesus Christ, the judge. Boy, it's quiet. See, pastors don't want to tell you, well, you know, people say this, we've got to love everybody. Yes, you're supposed to love everybody, but not their sin. And if you really love them like you say you do, you will tell them what's right and wrong. Now say amen, church. If you really have that love that you so much speak about, you would say, I want to tell you that your immorality is wrong and it'll send you to hell. God will judge that. And that's not to be hard-fisted. It is truth. Truth shall make you free. Somebody say the truth shall make you free. I tell people, I didn't get saved because Jesus loved me. I got saved because a preacher preached on hell and I went to the altar. I didn't want to go there, and I still would not want to go there. Amen? And so Paul is writing Timothy, and he's wanting to stir him up, and he's wanting to shake him in his soul. He's wanting to bring him alive to the reality. You will stand before God. You will be judged. So I want you to preach this word. Why? This word will keep you from falling back. This word will keep you out of trouble. It'll deliver you from the wokeism of your day. It'll deliver you out of the hands of your enemy that wants to cause you to cool down and back off of your faith and not to be too radical. So Paul is writing, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, when people are applauding you, when people saying, I hate you, I don't like you, you're not a man of God, you're not a woman of God, I don't believe that God will send anybody to hell. Oh, listen, there's people out there that are vicious in the world and they do not want to hear truth. We're living in that time ourselves. Listen, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, listen, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? Because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And what are they going to do? But they'll heap to themselves teachers that tell them what they want to hear. It's like the prophet in the old covenant. Don't you prophesy to us that rough stuff. Prophesy to us smooth things. Something that's going to be palatable to our soul and our flesh. But don't you dare tell us that Jehovah God will toast us for serving idols and worshiping false gods and aborting our babies in the fire to Molech or to Ashtoreth, or sacrificing him on the altar, or spilling the innocent blood. Don't you tell us that kind of stuff. You prophesy to me something smooth, and I'll tell you what, I'll be in church every Sunday. I'll come to every meeting. But don't you dare. If you start talking that rough, tough stuff, I'm not coming. Bye-bye, Jesus would say. Amen. I like what Perry says. He's don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Amen. Listen to what he says. The time's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, evil desires. They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. Oh, my God. You know, it's amazing. I was the other day reading some statistics and listening to some interviews of people and people that once had faith and really believed the word. But now, because of all the stuff that is rising up, that has been happening now for probably 20 to 40 years, just little by little by little by little, it's what we call the frog effect. They don't realize that they're in boiling water and they're ready to get cooked alive. But they begin to believe there's a lot of other ways to heaven, Mike, than just Jesus Christ. I mean, the Bible's outdated. These people, I mean, we're living in a time where people are brilliant. I don't know. I think I got Brillo pads for brains. Does that have anything to do with brilliant? I think we're living in a dangerous time. So these are last things that he's telling him. These are last things. He said, Timothy, look, you've got to get this in your spirit. You've got to have this son inside of your heart. You're living in a time where people are going to believe fables. It's like any movie now that comes out in Hollywood that, you know, that's about the Bible or supposed to be about biblical times or his history or any of those things. It's mixed with such falsehoods and lies, and people come out of those places believing that that's absolute truth. Honey, I want to tell you something today. There's not but one thing that's absolute, and that's that Bible that you bring to church every Sunday or that you hold or that you read. Somebody say the absolute truth. And I'm not talking about a King James Version or a New King James Version. I'm talking about the manuscripts. Inerrant, infallible, unchangeable, the word of the living God that spoke the heavens and the earth into existence, whereby we live by Jesus, the living, breathing word. Somebody say amen. And Paul tells him, he said, look, he said, in order for you to survive what's coming into this world, you are going to have to watch in all things. Be sober-minded. Be vigilant. That means stand on your watch. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears attuned to heaven and listen to what's going on around you. This is pertinent because if you're going to pastor this church, son, and if you're going to lead these people to your Father in heaven, if you're going to bring them to faith in me, then you are going to have to stand and be alert to the times that you're living in. What does that mean? I'm going to have to know what people are listening to, the movies that they're watching, the news that's trending, the things that go on in Christendom in the name of Jesus that are outside the word. And then I have to correct and reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Somebody say amen. Watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Because Paul is telling him, he said, look, I'm in jail right now for preaching this gospel. I am facing Nero right now for preaching this gospel. I want you to know that it's not just a bed of roses. You are blessed and highly favored in the Lord. Yes, you are. But you can be guaranteed that if you preach Jesus Christ and he is the truth and the only way to heaven, persecutions and afflictions are going to come. Because when you touch somebody's idol and you touch somebody's God, that causes hell to get stirred up. Listen to me. He said, endure those afflictions when people are telling you that you're no good and they're screaming at you and vileness and spitting on you and doing all kinds of manner of evil. If they're calling you on your recorder and leaving a phone message that cusses you out because they didn't like something you were live streaming. You meet somebody in Walmart, say, you that preacher, man? I want to tell you right now, blah, 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 blah. Thank you very much. Come out in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul is telling Timothy, endure the afflictions. Somebody say, endure the afflictions. Don't you be influenced by the wrong emotions when they come into your life, is what he's telling them. You have a rational spirit about you and be impartial to everything that you're hearing. Don't side with anybody until you know the full truth. Don't you jump on the bandwagon of somebody on Facebook. I said, don't jump on the bandwagon of somebody. My God, I see stuff on Facebook and people just click it, lick it, like it, lick it, kiss it, whatever they do on Facebook. I said, my God, they couldn't have read it. You just want somebody to like something you said, so you're going to like what they said, so that when they'll see that you like what they said, that they'll in turn like what you said. Well, I like what Jesus said. And if Jesus says it's no good, I'm going to get rid of it. I'm not buying the book. I'm not signing the thing. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Are you listening? See, this is important. Suffer the trouble and distress, the affliction that causes the pain in your life, Timothy. Church, do the work of an evangelist. That's a good word. Do the work of an evangelist who carries the good news. It's like Paul's on Mars Hill when he's passing by and he said, men and brethren, when I passed by and I saw all of these statues and things named to all the many gods, and I noticed that there's one over here to the unknown God. Him I declare to you. And Paul gets up and preaches and riot breaks out. So he knew how to get things stirred up in a city. But the goal is this, as he knows and he understands. It's just like now with such a squabble in our nation, you know, should we put prayer back in school? Should we put the Bible back in school? Should we have Bible reading? I'm torn on this because if we do that, they're going to be able to read Islam and I put my Bible up any day against Islam and I'll put the Word of God against any doctrine that's out there. And I say, if you study it and you read it, you're going to come out a believer in Jesus Christ because that Word will expose the lie of the enemy. Somebody say amen. See, that light can't get in unless it is shone in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Paul is talking to Timothy. He said, do the work of the evangelist. Get out and preach this word. Your job is to win souls. Your job is to convince people of the faith of Jesus Christ. This is who you're supposed to be. And he said, Timothy, you know who's in control. You know the Lord of glory. You know what the end is going to be of all things. You know the enemy's works and his strategies. You fully understand these things. You've got the message. Go preach it. You're an do the work of an evangelist. What's he telling him? He said, son, I laid my hands on you. The Holy Ghost of heaven has been poured out, and you've been commissioned and commanded by the Lord Jesus himself to go in his name and cast out the devil, lay hands on the sick and heal them, tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil and any power that he possesses, because your God is with you. And believe me, when you proclaim him in the midst of all the darkness that's out there, he will rise and shine above all. Somebody say amen. Wow, Paul is writing him these last things to remember. But it's also to you and me. Expose the lies. Pull down the stronghold. Reach the lost who will listen to you. Why? Listen to what Paul says. Son, for I am now ready to be offered. I love that. Paul didn't say, I'm getting ready. They're going to kill me. They're going to murder me. Is there any way that you can get me out of here? Can't you sneak me over the wall like they did that time? Can't you protect me in some way? That's not what Paul did. Remember, he's the one that said, I must go to Rome. I must stand before Caesar. I must go. I am now ready to be offered. He said, I'm an offering. I'm going to be placed upon the altar, and I'm going to give my life for Jesus Christ as an offering to him. They may take the guillotine and cut my head off, but I'm not an offering for them. I'm an offering to the living God. Oh, if we could just see our lives in that kind of light to understand that we are offerings to the Lord Jesus. We belong to him, and we offer ourselves in complete compliance and surrender. He said, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is in hand. I love this. It's like when you get ready to go on a trip and you're going overseas, and then you've got you get your ticket. And then you go to the airport, which is the prison. And they say, the time of your departure is. Paul has his ticket. He can't wait to get out of here because he knows where he's going. I love this in verse 7. I have fought a good fight. That is one of the last things that we need to get. I'm have to ask myself the question this morning. Am I fighting a good fight? Am I praying to the God of heaven for these strongholds of immorality and godlessness to fall? Am I praying in the name of the Lord God of heaven against the sorcery, the witchcraft, the addictions that exist in this world? Am I pulling down the political lies of darkness? Am I speaking the truth in love? Am I declaring the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I fighting a good fight? Ask yourself that question. Am I fighting a good fight? You know, when I get up in the morning, do I pray, or do I pray any time during the day? Do I read my Bible? You know, I know it's one thing to come to church, but you know, you can come to church and be as ineffective as anything, as nothing. No effect whatever. You got to be salt and light. See, when you fight a good fight, you're that salt that goes out into the world and permeates everything that's out there. You're the one that goes out in the darkness, and darkness has to back off because you've come. See, God has sown you in the earth for such an hour as this. I know we're thinking about the year 2025, and 2024 is leaving, and most of us would say, goodbye 2024. I don't ever have to see you again. But at the same time, I have to say thank God that some things happened in 2024 that the devil couldn't stop, that caused the devil to grieve and hell to grieve. Some things happened in 2024 that changed the course of our nation. Some things happened in 2024 that began to wake Christians up and cause them to understand, look, I can't sit around in a pew or in a chair. I've got to become proactive in my faith. I've got to get up and begin to live this thing and walk this thing and do what it tells me to do. I was thinking about the lady that was on the subway the other day. We all know the Marine, what he went through. What was his name? Okay, y'all heard it. Will Penny. We know about Will Penny, that he stood up and did the right thing. I said, he stood up and did the right thing, and they took the laws of our land and persecuted him. That's lawlessness. I said, that is lawlessness. Now you got people on the subway and a guy comes, it's an illegal alien, came here illegally and set a woman on fire in a subway, and people sat and watched her burn and nobody got up and did anything. I would dare say that probably somebody said, well, I know what they did to that Marine. I'm definitely not going to be getting involved in this. Come hell or high water, you're going to have to make a decision. If you're a Christian and trouble breaks out, you need to get up and say, the Lord God sent me right here, and I bind this devil in the name of Jesus. I take authority over this. If somebody had just screamed out Jesus as loud as they could have screamed it, I'll bet you something would have changed in the atmosphere. Come on, you got to believe this thing. You have to believe it. Somebody say, I believe, I believe, I believe. He's a wonder-working God. Think about that lady with all those people who sit there and did absolutely nothing. Cowardness. Cowards are not going to heaven. That's what the scripture says. Paul says, I've fought a good fight. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me. And not to me only, but all those that love his appearing. See, this is one of those last things. Somebody say, last things. Last things. Now, it was not that Paul needed to go back and redo anything in his life. He finished his course. Do you understand the weight of that sentence? I finished everything Jesus wanted me to do. There was nothing that I backed away or shied away from, but I did what he said. How many of us can say that? I have to look at it and say, well, I have failed in some of that. If I'm going to be absolutely truthful of myself, and not lie to the Spirit. But see, Paul is meaning this to get to our hearts. He said, I finished my course. I don't need to redo anything. I don't need to go back and get something straight or right. See, he's writing to the church right here, to you and me. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Everybody say to us. Paul has walked this road and he has not drawn back. He's the example. Timothy can look at him, he can relate with him as he's followed him. See, it's the sum of all that he has taught and preached and suffered. He's writing this to Timothy. He's writing it to you and me. And so I have to understand it. He's giving his most careful thought and heart and energy to what he's saying here. It's the time of his departure. And these words that he's going to write will live until the end of time. Are they living right now? Yes. And they're meant to guide me, to comfort me, to strengthen me, encourage me, and to lift me up. Then when I read that, I said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I can do it. Somebody said, I can do this thing because Christ is with me. He's inside of me. And you think about Paul, when you read about it, you get encouraged. Paul, one man, one child of God, full of the Holy Ghost, brought down strongholds, major demonic principalities and powers in every major city that he went to. If we were to look into the book of Hebrews, we could say that he wrought righteousness. He shook kingdoms in weakness. He was made strong. He waxed valiant in the fight. He swayed kings. He turned prisons into sanctuaries. Oh, you didn't get that one. They locked him up and said, we're having church, boys. You're not going to serve Zeus anymore. You're going to serve Jehovah. You're going to serve the Christ. Somebody say the Christ. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, stood before Nero unafraid and without fear, and was beheaded for the faith. His last words would have to be weighty. Last things. Last things. So what is Paul's motivation? What causes him to press onward? What causes him to look death in the face and say, you are defeated? Death, you have no power over me. Paul's probably played this thing through his mind as he's laying under that guillotine. He's probably seen his head roll, but he understands to be absent from the body, 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 to be absent from the body. Paul's saying, I'm about to get loosed and I'm about to get set free, because the moment that my head is gone, my spirit man is already in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose I am and whom I serve. Wow. Listen. Why does he press on? What's causing him to press on? See, it's these things that we need, the last things that he leaves to us concerning his life, to press onward in the face of cruelty, onward in the face of heartache and pain and misery, to press forward in Jesus' name. See, one of Paul's greatest keys, we just read it, is to not take his eyes off of Jesus. That crown of righteousness, it's not to me only. Paul could have just said, it's for me. I'm going to get it. But he said, it's to all those that love is appearing. How many love is appearing this morning? See, I'm telling you, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged. No matter what the devil throws at our nation or me or at the church, I have to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm looking to him who endured such contradiction of sinners. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Wow. Listen. Paul's prayer in Philippians 3 and 10, that I might know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul was saying, my head's going to roll. I'm going to get out of this body. They're going to take my body. They're going to put it in a tomb, and that's where it's going to remain. But one day, somebody say, one day when that trumpet sounds, my body is going to reconnect with my head, and I'm going to come alive again, and my body's going to get glorified, and I'm going to live eternally. Somebody say hallelujah to God. Amen. See, in a world where many have fallen away and are falling away. Listen to that statement. This is why Paul is writing this letter to Timothy. He said, don't you give up. Son, don't you give up. Don't you give up. He's telling him to embrace the cross. Somebody say, embrace the cross. In the days that are ahead of us, we are going to have a realignment with the cross of Christ. The cross is where it all happened at. That's where Jesus shed his blood for me. That's where he paid the ultimate price. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That's where he became a curse for you and me. That's where he said, it is finished. The cross. But there's more to the cross than just that. That was Jesus' cross. What is our cross? What is your cross this morning? What is it? What is it? See, for me to be able to pick up my cross and follow it, I'm going to have a good focus on heaven. I'm going to have a commitment to the Great Commission. I am going to have to love his appearing. I'm going to have to be obsessed with that. Possessed with it. See, Jesus didn't say, if any man comes after me, let him first take up the things that satisfy his flesh. But rather, let him take up his cross and follow me. That cross is a symbol of death. This is what Paul is telling us. He says, look, if you fall into this place where people are causing you to fear, and you compromise your faith, and you give it up, and you become a chameleon. You're a Christian one day, and you're part of the crowd the next. You're just part of society. You're just blending in. You want to be accepted by anybody. Remember, that's a big deal right now, the inclusion deal. I want to be included. I want to be part of that. I don't want to miss out on that. I mean, I want to be accepted. I'm reminded of that old song. I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. I've got a place that's so much better. I'm going to go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. You know where I learned that song? Floyd Lahan. I remember him singing that back in the 1980s. I said, man, there's a lot of truth in that song. It would do us good to go back and take hold of some old stuff that's been proven, that stood the test of time, that hasn't burned up in the fires of worldliness and carnality, but has stood strong down through the ages and has become anchors to our souls and that preach truths to us. And so Paul calls the church to follow him as he follows Christ. He accosts us, if we suffer with Christ, we shall reign with Christ. Paul says, if you can take the pain, you can have the gain. And then he gives this litany of his sufferings. He said, Timothy, listen to me. Church, hear this. Read this. 2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 23. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure. I am in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea. Listen to this one. In perils among false brethren. That's the worst kind. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold, in nakedness, besides the other things that come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches that she would forget these things. Paul knew what it was to suffer. We think we suffer if somebody looks at us wrong. They didn't like what I put on my Facebook page. Dummy, you shouldn't have put it on there. If it doesn't measure up to Philippians chapter 4, whatsoever things are good, of good report, whatsoever things are pure, honest, lovely, good, those things, scratch it off. Scratch it off. Listen, if you can't stand up to insults and injury and pain and sufferings that will be hurled at you in life, you will never stand in the days to come. God's looking for warriors. God's looking for men and women with backbones like saw logs, as they say. We want to have nerves of steel through the Holy Ghost. We want a heart that is so tied into heaven. See, Paul was obsessed with heaven. He was obsessed with Jesus. He was obsessed with all the angelic activity. He was obsessed with all that Christ had purchased on the cross of Calvary. He was obsessed with his apostleship to please Jesus Christ. And he said, I don't care what I have to go through, what I have to face. He said, I just know one thing. I'm willing to suffer, but not only suffer, as he told the church. He said, why in the world do you want to weep and break my heart? I'm not only willing to suffer for Jesus. I'm willing to die for my Savior. I want to know this morning, are you willing to die for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to give it all to him if it should come to that in the hour in which we're living in? See, we have no idea what's going to be in the next 10 years, the next 20 years. And I stand here this morning, it's 70 years old as a milestone, and I fully understand that my days are numbered ahead of me. If God blesses me to be 80 or blesses me to be 90, I will never stop preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ or laying hands on the sick or casting out devils or doing what the Lord wants me to do. I will try my utter best to do it. And I'm saying, why in the world would anybody want to turn back and run the other way? I hear the Holy Ghost saying, charge, go forward, move out, rise up, be strong in me and in the power of my might. Because the world needs to understand the church is not a cowering entity that's hid somewhere in the back room. The church is beginning to roar and come out and take a stand and preach. The world is not going to understand what it begins to see to be unlocked unto you and I this morning. I really truly believe that in the year 2025 and also in 2024, we have begun to see the supernatural signs and wonders of the living God be released from heaven. God is about to reveal himself like he's never been seen. Now listen, Paul said, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. He said, you see these knots on my fingers, these knots on my knees, you see these bruises, these cuts, these scars that I'm carrying? I'm bearing the marks of the dying of the Lord Jesus. Because if somebody comes and asks me, you know how kids are especially, they say, how'd you get that scar? How'd you get that boo-boo? I say, Yogi gave it to me. I say, how did you get that? Not yoga, Yogi. How did you get that? That you're able to tell them how you got it. It's just a stone of remembrance. Somebody say, amen. Amen. What are a few bruises? What are a few name callings and accusations? What are a few discomforts and trials compared to what's coming for us? Whew, my God. Paul is sitting in that jail, and he's probably thinking about those soldiers when they come to get him to walk him out. He said, no, these are angels ushering me into the presence of my God. Taking me to the altar to be offered. When you think about Paul and you read about this, you will say, God in heaven, I want a spirit like that. I want to be like you, Jesus. That was Paul's greatest desire. In Philippians chapter number 3, verse 12, Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Listen, forgetting those things which are where? Behind. And reaching forth to those things which are ahead. Wow. I know sometimes that when people are departing this life and going to the next, they will begin to talk to that world that's coming. And oftentimes, if you're in the room, they will be reaching out to lay hold of something. They're reaching out to lay hold of what Paul is talking about right here. To lay hold of what Jesus is bringing. Somebody say, I can face anything with Christ in me. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let as many of us as are mature have that mind. Paul said he apprehended me, laid hold of me. I've got to follow after it. I got to chase him down. Remember what Jesus said, he that has put his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You can't see Jesus looking back at what was. You see Jesus by looking ahead at what is. He which was and is to come. Now, I'm going to fast forward here so I won't keep you 3 hours. Somebody say, thank God. Say, my buttocks is hurting. But I feel like I need to share this with you right here. In the book of Revelation, Jesus appears to John and he gives him some last things. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know the story, the scriptures, that he hears the sound of a trumpet behind him saying, I'm Alpha Omega, the beginning and the ending, he which was and is to come. And the Bible said that he turned to see the voice that spoke to him, and he saw one like unto the Son of God, whose head and hair were white like as unto wool, his eyes like a flame of fire, his countenance like the sun shining in his strength, his voice like the sound of many waters, his feet like burnished brass as if they'd burned in a furnace. And John falls down. But then the angel comes and stands him back up. He's given the revelation. Everybody say, he's given the revelation. And in the revelation, there's something that's very, very important, you know, that is in here that I want to share this morning. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says that he comes with clouds. Every eye shall see him. Listen real close. These are last things. And every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. Now, this is amazing what I read next. All nations, tribes, kindreds of earth will mourn or wail because of him. Now, this word mourn means to bewail as a token of grief. It's like beating on your chest. You grieved over something. And so all the tribes of the earth, the Bible said, when Jesus appears in the sky, not at the rapture, at the end, he's telling you this because he wants you to avoid this. All tribes of the earth will beat their breast in grief because they now realize the reality of who Jesus is and what he did on the cross. My friend, you do not want to wait until you get right here to understand what Jesus did for you on the cross. You do not want to wait. They will mourn because they have missed the opportunity to receive Christ. See, we got to get past this thing where we're afraid somebody's going to see us respond and come to the altar. I done forgot what the percentage is now that churches don't even give altar calls. I said, ain't happening here. I know saints need to repent. I know things by the Spirit that the Lord shares with me. I know there's people that wrestle with pornography. You need to be set free. Some of our marriages need to be healed. We need deliverance from lust. Come on. Imagine this. All the nations of the earth wailing because of their missed opportunity to believe in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Wow. See, the mourning is not the result of genuine repentance. Because you think, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. No, 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 but of missed opportunity. They have now recognized their era of rejecting him. And so these are the last words of Jesus given to John in the church. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto him, into his servants things which must shortly come to pass and be sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from him who is and was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne of God, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I am Alpha, I am Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus' final words, listen, for I testify to every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues of the book that are written in it. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. This totally destroys, you do understand, the doctrine of backsliding and all this stuff that believes you can live like you want to and go to heaven. Okay? The words of the book of this prophecy, which shall be, take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. He which testifies these things, saying, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. See, we're here in his name. Say his name. His name. Getting ready to close here in just a second. We're here in his power. We're here in his might. He is greater in us than he that is in this world in which we live. And if we need anything this morning from these last things, we need to keep our eyes heavenward on the prize. Everybody say, I need to keep my eyes on Jesus. The heavenly prize. Say it again. Say, I need to keep my eyes on the heavenly prize. What are we fighting for? Souls. Pushing back darkness till he comes. Restraining the Antichrist spirit, which in 2020, when Trump was in president the first time, and most people don't get this, that spirit was shoved back. When Biden came into office, this spirit came screaming because of the ground that it had lost. The spirit of Antichrist. And so now, throughout that election, listen, Trump is not the answer to our needs. Trump is the answer to our prayer for a president. Our prayer to do the work of God and the will of God comes from the Holy Ghost. But when the righteous are in rule, the people rejoice. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so as we are approaching the end of this new year, it's time for us to look to Jesus. I've got to look to him. I have to base my whole life on that. Because if I'm looking for his appearing, if I love his appearing, see, this goes back to this love thing. If we love him, we're going to look for him. Amen. I know, my God, my wife can leave and go somewhere, and I'm like, okay, it's time for her to be back. I start looking, and then I'll call. Where are you? Why? It's not that I don't trust her. It's just I want to make sure something stupid hadn't happened. Amen. But see, the thing about it, I love her. I'm looking for her. If I love him, I'm going to be looking for him. I said, if I love him, I'm going to be looking for him. And I'm not sneaking around while she's out trying to find somebody else to talk to. And I'm not on the phone. I'm not on Facebook seeing who I can flirt with, who I can get connected to, if I can find my soulmate or any of that kind of garbage. No. Uh-uh. I want to tell you right now, God is looking for faithfulness in his people. Consecration, dedication. If I've heard anything about this upcoming year, and I'll be sharing some of this New Year's Eve, But I want you to understand that God is calling his people to faithfulness. There's some things in the Word of God that we've got to get connected to very deeply. And that is not forsaking ourselves, the assembling together. That is to pray and be that house of prayer that he's commanded us to be watchmen on the wall. Somebody say amen. That means to stand up. That when I hear something come across the news or the headline that says that Antichrist is making headway, that I begin to pray, binding that, taking authority over it in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. See, I believe that's why Paul traveled and went to cities. You can stand up, and Jennifer, come on up. I believe that's why Paul traveled to those cities is because, number one, when he went and churches were established, he followed that same circuit and went back to them. Why? Because he said, I want to find out what's going on with you. Sometimes he received letters from them. And he said, I've had reports of some of this stuff is happening and things have got to change. See, I believe that Jesus is telling us today. He said, look, if you want to see the glory in 2025, then you're going to have to become repentant and faithful to the things of God like you never have before, because those things have to be pursued with all of your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. I've got a good word to leave you with this morning, and is this: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. How about that? And with all thy strength, we have to be connected. My God, I want to follow after Jesus. I said, I want to follow after Jesus. I want to follow after Jesus. I want to follow after Jesus. I'm trying to think of the lady's name, but years back, her first name was Florence, but anyway, she was going to swim from the California coast to Catalina. And she started out on her journey swimming, and a deep fog set in. And there were other boats that were with her that were around her so that they could protect her in case sharks would come or she needed help or she needed rescue. And she had swam and swam for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And she finally got to the place because the fog was so dense and so thick that she couldn't see the shoreline. She couldn't tell anything that was out there. And so she told her mother, she said, I don't know whether I can do this or not. She said, well, just keep on swimming. She swam about another hour or so, and she still couldn't see the shoreline, and the fog was so dense it wasn't breaking. And so she said, look, I got to stop. I got to stop. I'm just going to give up. She gave up. They got her back in the boat. And they come to find out that the shoreline was less than an hour away. She said, if I could have seen the shoreline, I could have made it. See, a lot of us are in the dense fog of a lot of junk that's going on in life. The dense fog of hurts, bruises, trials, testings. I'm going to tell you, I saw the Lord tell me to tell you to do this. You know, the Bible says, lift up the feeble hands that hang down. And also to shake it off. Somebody says, shake that stuff off. Shake it off right now. Shake it off. Shake it off. Because it is the little sins, the things that so easily beset us, that cause us to stop and not keep swimming. The shoreline is in sight. It's not moved. It's still there. It will always be there. The finish line, Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus. And so this morning you may have been coming to say, I'm just so tired. I've been through so much. I've been hurt so many times. I'm just so discouraged. I'm just so, you know, I just don't know. I just don't know. Listen, you got to quit talking like that, number one. I said, you got to get that out of your mouth. You got to say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If Christ is with me, who can be against me? Amen. And so this morning, maybe you haven't been able to see the shoreline. I'm telling you to look to Jesus today. Look to Jesus. And this is what I want us to do today. As we remember those last things, Paul gave the whole litany of all that he'd been through because he wanted Timothy to know. He said, son, if I did it, anybody can do it. If Paul did it, we can do it. How did he do it? He looked to Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith. Amen. Remember Stephen when he was being stoned? The Bible said that what? He looked up, saw the heavens open, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. What was he saying? I can take any rock that they throw at me because I know one thing. If they throw enough, it's going to kill me and I'm escaping this body and I'm going to be where I want to be. Amen. So today, this is what I want us to do. We're going to give an altar call. We're going to embrace the last things. I'm going to embrace the last things. I want to fight a good fight. I want to finish my course. I want to receive my crown. I want to fully do everything that Jesus Christ has called me to do. And I know you do too. I don't want to stand before him and not have finished. I don't want to have let the fog of this world cause me to quit. I want to be strong and run the race that is set before me, looking to him. So right now, I'm going to count to three. That's what I want us to do. I want us to come get in this altar and say, right now, Father, I commit myself to you for 2025. I want to run my race. I want to finish the course. I want to be obedient. I want to love you with all of my heart. I want my eyes to be bolted to you. I want my heart to be tied to you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be that light, that salt. I want to be all that you want me to be. Lord, right now, I just thank you. When the sun comes out, the fog has to lift. And I believe that as I gaze at your face, Lord, that this fog is lifting out of my life and those things are leaving me. If you're here this morning listening, listen, if you're wrestling with pornography, if you're wrestling with lust, if you're wrestling with bitterness or unforgiveness, I want you to shake that mess off today and leave it at the altar. And don't you dare take it into 2025. You say, I'm not going forward with any excess baggage. I'm going to be running with a light load in Jesus' name. His burden is easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. So right now, begin to call upon his name. Begin to call upon that name. Lord, we just cry out to you, Jesus. We look to you. You are the author, the finisher of our faith. Paul said, for the joy that was set before him, Father, he would endure you endured the cross, despising the shame. Lord, I pray today that there will be renewed strength, renewed joy. Father, it comes into people's lives as they fasten their gaze upon you, Jesus. As we look to you like Paul did, we rejoice in knowing that if we follow you, we're walking in the path of victory. We're walking in the path of triumph. Oh God, let us hate what you hate, love what you love. Lord Jesus, let us and help us, God, to love our neighbor the way that you intended for us to. That we will put their flesh on us to understand what they're going through and where they're at. Father, I'm asking you today for a fresh baptism of the fire of God, for the fire of the Holy Ghost to move in every heart and in every life today in Jesus' name. Let refreshing come. Let refreshing come. Let strength come, God. Let it come in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.